Letters.
On Britain's Armed Forces, Cousins, Business in Italy, Private Equity-Backed Insurance, Age, and Terry Pratchett.
Challenges for Britain's Army.
From Anthony King, Professor of Defence and Security Studies, University of Exeter. Your analysis of the state of the British Armed Forces rightly highlighted structural underfunding, short-termism, mismanagement, and poor employment conditions. Article Losing Muscle, February 3rd. Another consistent failing has been the lack of a coherent mission since the end of the Cold War. Many people praised the integrated reviews and associated Defence Command papers of 2021 and 2023. Yet, reflecting the long-term overambition of each of the services, these reviews were conveniently ambiguous about whether Britain's armed forces should commit to the defence of NATO or to global Indo-Pacific operations, with little consideration of the actual resourcing available. Reform of the armed services cannot even start until Britain develops a coherent, sustainable military strategy which unites the efforts of all of its now very limited forces on a specific mission. It is up to the service chiefs to define that mission and to concentrate every activity and all their resources to its achievement.
From Simon Diggins, Colonel, retired, Rickmansworth, Hertfordshire. The British and the Europeans are now in an arms race with Russia, which is spending 7% of its GDP on defence. Some of this expenditure is directly related to the war in Ukraine, but, tested in the crucible of that war, Russia is rearming and restructuring its armed forces. Within 3 years, Vladimir Putin will have a modernised and puissant army at his disposal. To counter this, Britain needs a radical uplift in defence spending. Rishi Sunak's feeble 2.5% of GDP when the fiscal and economic circumstances allow is clearly inadequate. Many defence economists have suggested that 3% of GDP, sustained over a number of years, is a reasonable starting point. At the least, this would enable Britain to tackle issues quickly, such as poor housing and inadequate pay, that are contributing to poor recruiting and the hemorrhaging of trained personnel. Any increase must also be focused on current war-fighting capability gaps. Britain may need to upgrade its nuclear deterrent, but that should not come at the expense of spending on weapons that are more probably going to be needed now. It cannot be said loudly enough. Britain does not have until the mid-2030s, which is when the Ministry of Defence's modernisation plans are due to bear fruit. In strategic terms, we face a clear and present danger today.
Breaking the familial ties.
From Anthony Black, Dundee. The dispute about the legitimacy of marriage between first cousins, Article All in the Family, February 17th, touches on a crucial historical phenomenon. The Church banned marriage between relations who were less than three or four times removed. In The Weirdest People in the World, Joseph Henrich argued convincingly that this explained why clans and tribes disappeared in Europe during the Middle Ages, making way for the rise of the individual and the state, and it promoted the idea of marriage based on love.
The Italian Model.
From Vincenzina Santoro, New York. Your article on business in Italy was short on sweet and long on bitter. Article Bittersweet Life, February 10th. No mention was made that in the fourth quarter of last year, Italy's economy grew, while Germany shrank and the EU stagnated. Milan's stock market, small though it may be, outperformed all the other big euro area markets in 2023. Thanks to small and medium-sized companies, Italy is the third largest exporter in the EU. So the French own several big-name Italian brands. Sadly, Italy does not have the same number of billionaires as France to buy them. French investors seek premium Italian companies because they are profitable, prestigious, and enduring. When it comes to business in Italy, small is beautiful and successful.
Private equity and insurance.
From David Eichhorn, Chief Executive and Head of Investment Strategies, Nissa Investment Advisors, St. Louis. There are indeed many risks associated with private equity-backed insurers. Article Private Assets, Public Interest, January 27th. As you say, pension promises matter to society, and accordingly, regulators should take notice. Upon instructions from Congress, the Department of Labour has done just that, holding public sessions to discuss the increasingly large role that private equity-backed insurers are playing in the pension risk transfer, or PRT, market. Financial markets corroborate your concern. Whether because of regulatory arbitrage, riskier or illiquid investments, and other factors, private equity-backed insurers are deemed riskier than traditional insurers, as measured by the credit spread of their bonds. Conveniently, many insurers issue funding agreement-backed notes, or FABNs, to the institutional bond market. FABNs are on an equal footing with policies issued by the insurance companies, so they represent an observable, market-based measure of the policy-level risk of the insurer. Our recent study of the largest PRT providers showed that the two private equity-backed insurers in that group stood out as a higher risk, trading at spreads as much as 1 percentage point higher than that of the highest quality insurers. These spread levels are comparable to those of companies rated BBB or BBB-. We think an evaluation of credit spreads aligns well with Department of Labor guidance that requires fiduciaries to choose the safest available annuity and have recommended as much to the department as part of its review of the PRT market. The power and insight of market forces strongly supports your thesis.
Respect the elderly.
From Bengt Simstad, St. Paul, Minnesota. I find it ironic that an article arguing that both Donald Trump and Joe Biden are too old for the presidency was written by someone several years older than both of them and who still holds a seat in the House of Lords. Article by invitation, February 12th. Lord David Owen suggested that Mr. Biden should decline the Democratic nomination and ask its national committee to pick another candidate, though he oddly failed to ask the Republican National Committee to do the same for the similarly elderly Mr. Trump.
A hole in my shoe.
From Henry Biggs, Macclesfield, Cheshire. A few books written by Terry Pratchett should have made it into your pick of the best comic novels. Article The Economist reads, February 1st. Several deal with topics relevant to the dismal science, including whether private or public services are best, going postal, economic theory and models of money, making money, and the Sam Vimes Boots theory of socio-economic inequality, men at arms. This posits that a rich man can spend $50 on one pair of boots that will still keep his feet dry in 10 years' time, whereas a poor man, who can only afford cheap boots, will spend $100 on several pairs over the same time and still have wet feet.